This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Weekly Hotwire. Family farm growth is an important topic for many farmers, and it's important to get the right advice on this. Like I often do, I get perspectives from far and wide on certain topics. And today, I have an interview on family farm growth from an Irish perspective. Ireland, in many ways, have similar farming systems to ours. So what are the Irish doing in this area? Today, we pick up an interview between Francis McDonnell and Kevin Connolly. Kevin is a financial management specialist working in the agri sector in Ireland. Let's have a listen.
Obviously, Kevin, we know every farm is different and every farm has its own unique challenges. But what is the first thing to consider?
I suppose the first thing to consider is for an individual farmer, what they really see as their growth target. What is their idea of what growth is when they're talking about growing the farm? Is it more land, more stock, more acres under crops, putting more product, whether that be milk or kilos of beef out the gate? For some people, that is important that every year they see a progression in that. And then you get to a stage where some farms switch focus completely, looking at more lifestyle issues with the farm. They want to make the farm more manageable, give themselves more time, and the investments and whatever they put into the farm is focused on that and actually making the farm easier for them to manage, and maybe reducing the amount of time they have to put into the farm for the level of output they're getting. Most people, what we try and encourage people is that they're working towards some kind of view on what the farm is going to look like in a number of years' time. And they put that, whether they write that down formally on paper or whether they have it in their head, but they're working towards a kind of a planned version of what the farm will be, whether that be 5 years or 10 years down the line. And that then the investments should fit into that and should build towards that sequentially, so that one investment builds on the next one and they're working towards that eventual kind of final scenario where they have their ideal farm business in place.
So it's really important to analyse where your farm is today and then where it's going tomorrow, really.
Absolutely. That's the starting point, is you look at where you are currently. And that can be from the point of view of, you know, kind of profitability and looking at, you know, where you are as regards compliance with all the different various criteria that are being imposed on farms. And that really drives then kind of what your plan will be for the next number of years on top of that. So starting with an analysis of where you are currently is critical, and doing that with a critical head on you, if you like, looking at it, stepping back from the farm. Sometimes a lot of farmers get so caught up in the day-to-day running of the business that it can be hard for them to kind of step back. And sometimes it might be worthwhile getting another pair of eyes to come in and just assist with that analysis, just as to where the farm is currently and where it needs to go.
So as you say, it is very difficult when you're running at a pace, really, to look at the strengths and weaknesses. And you also have an emotional attachment there. So that's sometimes hard to stand back from, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, there's a huge kind of emotional attachment to farming, and the assets associated with it, whether it be the land or the fact that the business has been maybe through a number of generations, and that can tailor the way people look at it and tailor their decisions around the investment of it, and investment in it. But I think it's important to kind of keep that, you know, don't kind of suppress that completely, but also kind of look at it from a business point of view. And also with the view to, you know, looking good number of years down the line, what's that business going to look like if it's going to into the hands of the next generation? And those type of decisions then will tailor the investment decisions that are made today and over the short term for that farm.
And I suppose one of the really key issues that you need to address is we've always done it this way, which is sometimes what we hear on farms, but that's not what you need to be thinking about when you're planning for the future.
No, not necessarily. I mean, look at what has been done in the past. Sometimes stands up pretty well, even currently and in the future. But there are kind of new ways of looking at things. And there's also kind of new demands on farms now that were never there previously. So that has to kind of have an impact on the investment decisions and where the money is going to be ploughed into the farm for the future. The main thing, I suppose, is that you start off, you know, when you're looking at an investment, is that you try and start off with your assessment currently, and then you look at the actual investment itself. What is this going to contribute to the farm? What is it going to cost to actually put this in place? Is it going to build on what we've invested previously? Is it going to set the farm up for maybe future investment? further down the line? Is it going to set the farm up for the next generation? Is it going to make the farm a better place to work for the generation currently, and maybe also labour on the farm? That's a huge issue on a lot of farms now, that apart from the whole area of cross compliance and looking at slurry storage and issues along those lines, it's also kind of trying to make some farms in particular that require a lot of labour input, making them better places to work, safer places to work. So that can tailor a lot of the decisions that are made. And once you have the investment identified, then it's important that you cost it fully.
Yeah, so you have to have a business plan in place.
You really do need a business plan. Unfortunately, there's no get, particularly for the big ticket investments that are going to, you know, cost big amounts of money. You will require a business plan, because usually those involve finance, and most financial institutions will look for some figures around that. But a business plan, we would also kind of encourage people not just to go straight to the figures and start generating loads of nice figures on cash flows and so on. You need to kind of work back and, as I said, build that plan up in terms of what the vision of the farm is going to be over a number of years, and then put your financial plan alongside that. When the banks come on board, the finances are going to be critical, and banks will, you know, start to look for projections of cash flow, repayment capacity calculations and so on, so sensitivity analysis around the prices that are used. You know, most farmers will look for somebody else to come in and assist them with that plan and putting those projections in place, whether it be, you know, ourselves and Chagas or a private consultant or an accountant can assist with it. But it's important that the farmer takes ownership of the plan, that, you know, these are not just figures on a page, that behind that is, as I said, it's tying into what the farmer sees as that farm for the next 5 years and ongoing, you know. So it's one of the criticisms that a lot of farmers and people that are looking at business plans would say is, these figures are lovely, but, you know, is that really going to be of use to the individual farmer
is it achievable too? Is the other aspect on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? Because, you know, we have a lot of people that work off farm. You know, we may have a partner that is bringing in income in a different way. And I suppose all of that has to come into the mix.
It does. Yeah, it does. Absolutely. As you said earlier, farming is quite emotional and it's, you know, it ties in the family, you know, you're tying in the household into it. And in a lot of cases, even though a lot of farmers have gone down the route of farming companies and so on, but they're still family farms there. There's still a family behind that all driving it. And that family incorporates, you know, everybody in the household. They may be contributing their labour. They may be contributing their income into the household to keep the house going, as well as income coming in from the farm. So it's important to look at all those factors.
And in some cases, there is a multi-generational dimension to this, because you may have your father, your mother still on farm and maybe helping you on that too. So it has to be a joint decision, doesn't it, really, whenever you look at that?
It does. It does. Yeah. I mean, it should be something that is discussed kind of jointly round the kitchen table, you know, when these decisions are being made and you know, there's input from everybody, because it will, those family members are critical in a lot of cases in making this work, you know, making the actual investment work. And for some cases, it's actually tailored, you know, the investment is done with those key people in mind to make, as I said, the farm maybe a safer place for the older generation, younger generation to work than, you know, maybe would have traditionally been, you know, where a farmer just motored on himself or herself and, you know, without any other input going in on the farm. Now you're talking about, you know, to run a farm business properly of any significant scale requires a number of people kind of walking around that yard and doing various jobs. So, you know, having the right equipment and making the farm safe and having it at a scale maybe that justifies, you know, having those couple of people there and giving them some kind of return or wage out of the farm is what drives a lot of this investment.
And one of the key challenges when you want to grow your farm is, of course, finance. That's fundamental. And are there good options available for farmers? Because we know that interest rates have been an issue and, you know, the capacity to borrow against what your farm can deliver. So for farmers, is that still a major hurdle?
It can be. Look at farming is the margins are quite tight and sometimes the investments that we're talking about taking on and the finance required to finance them is quite big. So it's important that, you know, you do have a good financial institution on board with you. But you know, when you're going to to access finance, there are certain requirements. Really, that you know, the bank or whoever is coming in to part finance the investment, you really need to look on them as more or less kind of a partner in the business for that period of time that they're there, and treat them nearly as such. Be straight up with, you know, this is my plan for the farm. This is what my, you know, the financial kind of projections for what it's going to be. These are the price assumptions I made in those, and be realistic about, you know, what your liter of milk is going to return to you over the next number of years. I know a lot of that is quite guesswork or estimate work, but it still needs to be stood over and justified. And it comes back to the individual farmer then to be able to articulate that and stand over those and really kind of tie the bank or persuade the bank that this is a plan that they've really bought into, and they're putting their focus on making work. And then, you know, the bank hopefully will come on board with the necessary finance. The number of banks that are in the market now, I suppose that has kind of contracted a bit.
It's dwindled, hasn't it, really? And that reduces the options too.
It does reduce the options. You know, I suppose you have the three main banks there, but you also have something like Credit Union and their Cultivate product. They're doing, you know, quite a bit of business in that as well. And you have other kind of options available. The SBCI, the Strategic Bank Corporation of Ireland, are key players in this, and a lot of farmers have made use of their products.
So shopping around is an important element there too.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you obviously most farmers will have their main bank that they've banked with for years, and they would be the first port of call. You know, but definitely, you know, talk to them about, and most banks will bring up the likes of the SBCI products and so on, because they can be means significant kind of reductions in interest rates, you know, for a farmer looking for finance. But when it comes down to it, you know, you still have to stand over, you know, what the investment and is going to generate, how it's going to be paid for. Repayment capacity is the be all and end all for any lender. They want to know that the money that they are lending out day one, that they're going to get that back over a period, whatever period of time is agreed. So they need to have confidence that that's going to be the case. And you need to be able to kind of show that and be able to stand over it. So repayment capacity is a critical thing for most banks. But in a lot of cases, banks have actually broadened out from that in the last number of years. You know, it used to be just looking at cash flows, looking at repayment capacity. But now they have an eye to, you know, the various different impacts that farms are subject to, such as, you know, have you enough soil water storage? Have you enough slurry storage on the farm? What's your stocking rate? You know, say for dairy farms that are selling calves off the farm, have you enough, you know, calf accommodation to accommodate holding those calves for longer? Those type of questions are now cropping up in those conversations with people looking for investment.
And we know that the Nitrates Directive is an issue whenever it comes to planning for the future now. So there are a lot of environmental considerations, aren't there, if you are looking to expand your farm?
There are indeed, yeah. I mean, I suppose, you know, having enough slurry storage capacity, you know, for the amount of stock that you have, having, you know, a land base that gets you under the, you know, the derogation limits and so on, or that's not going to impinge on your ability to produce. That's, you know, an important factor for farmers to be able to plan around. And banks are now aware of that. It's not as if you can kind of put that over to one side and say that's not something for you to worry about. As if you treat the bank kind of fairly, and I say they're aware of it, they read all the industry you know, information on that, so they're aware that these are issues, active issues for farms. So you might as well be upfront on it and deal
and
with
that's that you need to be very aware of that. If you are going in, you have expansion projects you want to deliver in these, you need to be aware that there are environmental considerations now that are to the fore.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. They're nearly held up as equally important as the financial projections now for a lot of banks. That they're kind of aware: is this investment that we're taking on, or coming in along with you as a partner at this stage, is that going to, you know, contribute to safeguarding that particular business as regards the environmental considerations? Or are we going to make this investment now and then have to come back in a year or two's time and make another significant investment to comply with environmental considerations? So they want to kind of make sure that particular box is ticked first, you know, that it's not just focused on maybe just purely on production or some other, you know, a nice bit of fancy machinery on the farm, and you're not looking at kind of a key component that's going to really impact on the farm's ability to be able to stay running as a business. So most banks will now kind of look at that very, very closely to make sure, as I said, nearly equally as closely as the financials.
Yeah. And do government grants and EU grants have a role to play if you are going to try and expand your business?
Absolutely. If there's a grant there available, why not make use of it? And, you know, the governments and through CAP funding and so on have made significant grants available through the TAM scheme. I think there's 11 different grant tranches there available, depending on whether it's, you know, nutrient storage or solar panels or whether it be farm safety equipment. So there's all different tranches associated with them. And, you know, the grant is, you know, provided you comply with the regulations and the application process and are prepared maybe to wait for a period to get that all through and get it approved and get your money back out the other end. You know, it's basically, you know, free money, essentially, you know.
Yeah, but that's an add-on, isn't it, really, almost? Like, if you're coming, if you're looking at expansion, you've got to just clearly go with the facts and figures of what you're going to borrow, and then perhaps a grant is a bonus or an incentive on the back of that to kind of bolster it up. Or do you see it going hand in hand?
I see it very much going hand in hand. I mean, it can be, you know, to make the investment stand up, sometimes the grant is a critical
important
part of it. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you really do need to try and factor that in initially. But it's important, I suppose, that, you know, there may be a lag period maybe in getting the grant. Some farmers want to be able to move straight away. The opportunities come up maybe, or they need that investment straight away. These things take time to get over the line and get approval, and then even to get payments. So they may need even organise bridging finance to cope with the period where the grant hasn't actually come in or isn't available to them, and they still, you know, they have a builder or somebody to be paid, and you know, so that may all need to be factored in when they're talking to their financial institution, or they need to have that money available themselves in order to cope with that.
And in your role, have you found that there's particular farm systems that are easier to develop or easier to expand?
Not necessarily. It's not really system related, although, you know, a lot of people would look at, you know, the likes of dairy farming and so on as being, you know, more generating more cash and have a more repayment capacity. But it comes down very much to the individual who's the manager. And again, or the farmer that's looking after the business. You know, there are a number of farmers that would be in, you know, less profitable sectors that are still capable of making investments and making them pay, you know, whether they have, you know, cute enough to access grants or other sources of income, but they can actually make them stand up and get them over the line, say with a financial institution to back them as well. So it's important that, you know, the manager is critical. And really, when you go to you know, any financer to get them to back you, they're looking not only at the business themselves, they're also looking at the person in front of them, you know, that's actually making the proposal to them. You know, how likely is this person going to be to make this work? So it comes down very much to the individual as well.
Yeah. And whenever you're thinking about expanding your farm, how much of a factor should the risk element be? Should you be thinking, okay, this is what I want to do, but I need to look at what could potentially go wrong here too?
It is a factor for definite. And I mean, there's different types of risk. You have the likes of production risk, and you have, you know, which is relating to weather and relating to the fact that you don't produce as much as you expected. You have the likes of price risk or market risk. You don't get as much for your product as you expected, or the price of your inputs have gone, you know, higher than you expected. And then you have the likes of the financial risk associated. If you do look for finance, you know, when you're taking on debt, that's a significant kind of risk as well. You know, what's going to happen, that debt as regards interest rates and so on, because usually that debt is a kind of a priority thing that must be paid for. So those are the main risks. They have to be taken into account. When you're doing your projections, you try and account for some of that by doing sensitivity analysis on, you know, okay, I've factored in my milk price over the next number of years to be 40 cent a litre. What if it's 5 cent a litre below that? And again, most people that are looking at business plans will look for something like that, you know, people are stress testing their projections based on the risk of things not working out as well as they initially planned. And equally, you know, the likes of, for interest rates, again, most banks do kind of stress tests on whatever the rate is plus 2% to see will the plan still stack up for that. But, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, you take risk into account, and for some individuals, they're quite capable of taking on a substantial amount of risk and still getting a good night's sleep. And others, you know, owing small amounts of money, you know, keeps them awake all hours of the night. So it's down to the individual as well and what they're willing to take on, as well as what the business is capable of sustaining. In some cases, you just do need some kind of a some safety nets built in. Don't push the limits out to the maximum. Keep a credit reserve there. Don't borrow out to the max. You know, always leave scope there to go back and look for kind of within
a buffer,
within the farm, a buffer there, and also a buffer, you know, in terms of cash, dry cash available that you can call on. You know, if things don't, you know, if you hit a lean time, and we've had a few lean times over the years, and some farmers had those buffers and were quite glad of them as well. You know, to call on when the actual returns from farming current at that particular time just didn't match up to what they were expecting.
So, Kevin, if you're sitting at your kitchen table today and you're thinking, I'm going to look at an expansion plan, what's the top three questions that you need to be asking yourself?
Does it fit into kind of my overall view for the plan, for the farm over the next number of years? Is this building on everything I've done to date? Looking back at what's worked and what hasn't worked, does this plan kind of fit into that sequence? If I'm looking at it for over a time horizon of 10 years at my age currently, I'd be thinking, what about succession? You know, if I make this investment now, is that going to make this farm, you know, more appealing to my successor or somebody to come in after me that's going to take over this business? And I suppose you would also be looking at the horizon in terms of the compliance and so on, making sure that it ticks those boxes. Because in a lot of cases, the investment you make today, that's something you're going to be paying for a number of years' time. And it may just tie people's hands as to what they can invest, you know, particularly if it's a significant investment, a lot of land investments in particular, significant outlay. So it's something, you know, a lot of farmers kind of would look at. Bit of land comes up, it's an opportunity that they mightn't get again, that, you know, they won't let pass them. And it's important kind of to weigh that up. Is this the right decision now at this stage? Because with land purchases in particular, they don't tend to cash flow as much, and you're really relying on retained earnings in the farm that you've built up from other land that you have and so on from other parts of the business to help pay for that land. That land on its own won't necessarily generate enough on its own to pay for itself. So you need to kind of build that into your considerations for any investment you make.
I hope you enjoyed that. What Francis and Kevin discussed can be directly applicable to New Zealand farming families looking for growth and a sustainable farming future. Well, that's all from me this week. Head along to tailwindmedia.co.nz and subscribe to the Weekly Hotwire. Thank you for listening and catch you next time.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.